They don't know the ending. And so they have a bad attitude. And they leave and live in hopelessness. It's all over. They want to change the channel. They don't want to watch anymore. They don't want to live in this anymore. Oftentimes in our own struggles and our hopelessness, it's wrapped up in that which is temporary. We've been dealing in Sunday school with the meaninglessness of life from Solomon. We're wrapped up in that which is temporary. Even suicide, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Fear is a response in a temporary circumstance. Yet many live there in their hopelessness and the pain. They don't see a good outcome. They don't see a positive outcome. They don't see any hope at all. In this season of Christmas, we're going to celebrate the one who came to give us some hope. He offers hope to all of us. Hope beyond the temporary. Hope beyond the cancer. Hope beyond the addiction. Hope beyond the struggle. In the manger, we see the birth of hope. Something to cheer about. Something to sing about. It's a good attitude that we must begin to adopt and to have. For if we truly know the outcome, we can have hope. We don't have to live in the fear and the hopelessness. Christmas has to be one of the most sung about holidays on the planet. Google me wrong. I don't know, I'm just making that statement. Christmas has to be one of the most sung about holidays on the planet. The birth of Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, came that we might find hope, that we might be drawn back to God. And of course, there's your first one already up there in a very familiar passage. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That's a great hope. The hope that the world would be taxed. That sounds like the hope of a politician, right? Or every municipality. Nothing certain except death and taxes. That's even temporary. I love the words that it came to pass, right? King James Version and NIV would say, in those days, probably in a more abridged version, maybe somewhere along the line, what Spencer might like, the NASB version. It came to pass in those days. It was kind of both. In those days, it came to pass. What were those days? What were those days? Days of government oversight? Days of Caesar ruling? The days of the Roman Empire? The days of soon to be of the John the Baptist? The fullness of time? This is a fulfillment of prophecy. It came to pass in those days, in those biblical times. God moved in those biblical times. In those days, it came to pass, God moved. And we read about it. God moved. Is God still moving? Are these biblical times? It came to pass in those days. It was a fulfillment of prophecy, a fulfillment of prayer. Are you a fulfillment of prophecy? Are you as a believer a fulfillment of prayer? Jesus prayed for you. Biblical times were not just then. Biblical times are right now. And we reference a lot. Oh, this too shall pass. And it did come to pass. You know, the long-awaited event of Thanksgiving. Man, is it ever going to get here? All the planning, all the preparation, and it's gone. Just that fast. Boom. Can you believe it's already moving into Advent and Christmas is only how many days away? Anybody know? I don't. 20, 25, right? 26 days away. Get ready. Here it comes. For years, for decades, for centuries, prophets of God had spoken about the coming of the Messiah. This hope, this Messiah, prophetically announced through King David, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, through Daniel, through Malachi, and a host of others. This hope that they longed for, that they spoke about, that they preached about, that they prophesied about. This hope would be born of a virgin. This hope would be in the lineage of Jacob. This hope would be born in the tribe of Judah. This hope would be born of a descendant of King David. This hope would be born in Bethlehem. This hope would be called out of Egypt. These predictions, some are thousands of years old. In those days, it came to pass. It came to pass with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem that very first Christmas. That is what has come to pass. Hope. That is what has come to pass. Peace has entered into the world. The Messiah has come. Finally, in the fullness of time, all that we've been prophesying and speaking and teaching in the fullness of time, here it is. And so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee and Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David, just as it had been prophesied about and spoke about. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. A decree had come from Caesar, not a believer, may even be called a god himself. The decree from Caesar was God's way of placing, listen, his servants, was God's way of placing his servants where he wanted them, when he wanted them, to fulfill the prophecy. So, there's your next slide. Are you where God wants you to be? And are you when God wants you to be? In the fullness of time, you were born. In the fullness of time, in those days, in those biblical days, you walked down the aisle in the church and made an exit, just like Anais, in those biblical times. Are you not only where God wants you to be, but do you believe you are when God wants you to be, for such a time as this? God oversees all the governments of the world. Do you believe that? That's a pretty heavy statement. God oversees sovereign. He oversees all the nations of the world. God interfering or intervening with global politics to illustrate and to bring about his plan. Can you believe that? You believe that while you watch the bombings in Ukraine? That somehow God is sovereign and his plan is coming together? You believe that while you watch the Israel and the Palestinians and the Gaza Strip and all that's going on? And you watch that and you go, God is sovereign. God is in charge. God's plan is coming to fruition. Do you believe that? God intervening into the physical world to bring spiritual hope. God intervenes into the physical world to bring spiritual hope. That's Christmas. I know it can look awkward. I know it could even look a little bit unrelated. How is God bringing about peace when all the world is at war? I know it can look inconvenient that you might have to relocate. I know it can look problematic. I can know it even looks unbelievable and untrustworthy that God is fulfilling his plan. I know it can look devastating and disturbing. It can look like hopelessness at times. And it might get worse before it ever gets better. Because you might be down to the last 57 seconds and feeling like all hope is lost. And then, just then, in that moment, in the fullness of time, in those days, it shall come to pass that God's plan falls into place. I know you think it's all falling apart, God's telling you it's falling into place. God is intervening in the world. He did then, and he does now. He brought you here today. And it came to pass in those days. It's hard to believe that these days will someday be the good old days. Remember the good old days? We cannot even begin to believe that God has somehow abandoned us, or that somehow God is an absentee landlord, or somehow God has forgotten our youth, or forgotten the poor, or forgotten his church, or forgotten people. That somehow just God created the earth and then just forgot all about us. He is not distant and far off. I know you don't understand everything about him. Is that reason enough to doubt? I know you don't understand everything about him. Is that reason enough to quit? See, it's not what I don't understand about the Lord that bothers me. It's what I do understand about the Lord that bothers me. And that's what makes me go to church. That's what gets me in prayer. That's what gets me motivated. The things I do understand about God, not what I don't. The celebration of Christmas is at the heart of our hope. This is that God is with us. God is sovereign. That's what I understand. That God's plan is coming together, even though I will view a world that looks like it's falling apart. Here's your next slide, by the way. God rules over time. Why? Because he's outside of time. God rules over time. God rules over governments. He moved upon Caesar. Do you believe that? See, God moves upon governments. Why? Because he's bigger than governments. God moves upon nations. Why? Because he's bigger than nations. God rules over kings. Why? Because he's bigger than the king. He is king of all kings. He is Lord of all lords. He is bigger. And he rules over your problems. Why? Because he's bigger than your problems. Here's your next slide. See, God has not lost hope. He's inviting you into his hope. I lose all kinds of hope. God doesn't lose hope. Long before Caesar ever made a decree, long before there was ever a pilgrimage of Mary and Joseph, long before the birth, long before the prophets ever foretold, God moved upon the earth to fulfill his promises, to bring humanity hope, to bring you hope. This is at the core of our understanding and the core of our belief, of our hope. The very heartbeat of our belief and our hope is this. There's no hope outside of Jesus. If Jesus is the creator, all things for him, through him, with him, and because of him, it's all for him. There is no hope without him. That's our faith. That's our belief. That's where we place all our hope. Ask anybody else where they place their hope. Money, sex, drugs, rock and roll, fame, the world, power, government. I just trust Trump. I just trust everything about the Democrat. I just trust our democracy. I just trust. Be bigger than that. Please be bigger than that. It's at the very core. There is no hope outside of Christ. The scriptures are pretty clear. He is the creator, he is the sustainer, and he is the finisher. This passage is just not about the struggles of Joseph and Mary and how they had to go to Bethlehem. This is so that all the things they had to do. This is so much bigger than the angels that are singing loudly. This is so much more than about the shepherds. Those are sermons for another day. It's bigger than that. And I hope you catch a glimpse of how big and how timeless your God is. He just didn't think about you the last 100 years of your life. You've been part of the plan since there was creation. It's about completing what God had set out to do. Long before there was ever a Mary and a Joseph. God involved Mary and Joseph in his plan, with him and through him, to bring this wonderful hope into the world. God's plan. God's plan involved Mary and Joseph. It involved the angels. It involved the shepherds. It involves you. God has and will move heaven and earth. He has. He's moved heaven and earth. He's moved nations and he's moved governments and he's moved angels and he's moved and spoken to Mary and Joseph. God will move in your life. God will move in your life. But in saying that, and then in believing that, what are you having to endure for the glory of God? This was not convenient for Mary and Joseph. This was not convenient for the shepherds. What are you having to endure? What inconvenience are you having to endure? What intolerance are you having to endure? What tax? What physical ailments? What emotional traumas are you going through that you have to endure to bring glory to God if, in fact, you believe that God is at work in your life? I promise you, you will have to endure something along the way. God will bring to fruition his plan for you. Is there ridicule? Is there injustice? Is there oppression? Is there oppression upon you? See, you may not parent the Messiah, but I bet God has a plan for you. I bet he has a plan to involve you and to work with you and to shape you and to mold you for such a time as this, because it's not an accident when you are. He will move heaven and earth for you. See, you're part of a biblical story. You are part of an ongoing biblical story. That's you and me. These are biblical times for each and every one of us. We keep saying, we're going to get to the end. The Lord's coming again. I know he's coming again. Man, you know things are going to get worse before they get better. Are you celebrating that? Are you in hopelessness about that? Because these are unprecedented biblical times for you in your life, in your walk with God. These are biblical times for your kids, for your grandkids. You are in biblical times. And that hope that we have in Christ will change our direction. It will change our thought processes. That hope will move us into places that are very foreign to us. That hope will bring us to church consistently. That hope will continue to bring us to our knees in prayer over and over and over and over again. And that hope will give a heartfelt joyfulness because you know, I know there's only 57 seconds left, but I have not lost hope because I know the outcome. And it doesn't matter what circumstance I'm in. It doesn't matter what tax. It doesn't matter what inconvenience. It doesn't matter what pilgrimage. My life is for the glory of God. And I will follow to bring him glory. That hope will solidify your faith in eternal things because all of this is temporary. Can I give some thanks? Can I give a little testimony here? Just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for what you have done for me. I have witnessed you moving heaven and earth for me. I have watched you protect me. I have watched you heal me. I have watched you do things within my body that exposed other things within my body. I thank you, Lord, for your spiritual movement that affects this physical body. Lord, you've given me the deepest desires of my heart. You fulfilled my life and you have saved my soul. I have seen how you have guided me into some of the darkest of places that I might be a light. I have watched how you have brought me into the difficult circumstances that I might be a light to bring glory to God. and to bring peace into difficult circumstances. I have watched you work in my life, and I thank you. I praise you. I lay out my life for you because I know what it is to be in the hopeless state. There's no way I can ever be in a hopeless state ever again. I know the outcome. Do you? How's your attitude? Lord, you surround me with your glory, and I praise your name for all that you've already done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. I have great hope. I have great hope for our youth. I have great hope for the next generation. I have great hope for what God's going to do in my wife, Melinda. I have great hope for the praise team. I stand in great hope, even though sometimes it looks like you're down to the last 57 seconds and cancer is riddling your bones. I have great hope. I have great hope for you, for each and every one of you. I see how God is at work. Ivana wasn't a mistake up here today. Ivana's a testimony of what God can do in someone's life. God's at work in your life. Can you see it? Do you recognize it? Or have you given up hope? The heart of our hope is that God is with us. Isn't that Emmanuel? Isn't that Jesus, the spiritual, becoming flesh? That he might understand our ways, that he might walk with us, that he might be tempted in every way and still remain strong to say, you, walk this way. And I know that you'll probably mess up. So let me give you myself. Let me pour out the Holy Spirit upon you that you might walk in the power of God and in the power of Christ. That's you. Wow. You're amazing. When was Christ ever hopeless? When they beat him? When they spit on him? When they kicked him? When they nailed him to the cross? No. He never was. He never was. Maybe you get close in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays so hard and the stress is so high, he bleeds and sweats blood. High anxiety because he knows what he's got to go through to secure the outcome. I know I have to play the game. I know I'm going to have to get to that 57-second mark, and it's going to seem like it's all hopeless, and it's all lost, and everybody around me is going to fade away, and all my friends are going to run from me. But I know the outcome. I might have to endure a lot of things, but I know the outcome. There's no reason to ever lose hope. She took first that firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Because everybody else is making a pilgrimage too, just like they are. It seems rather backwards, though, to have a king of the universe that would come in this kind of fashion. Not into the halls of the palace, but into the smell of a stable. And this was no mere mortal. This was Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us. What an event. Celebrated and praised, not just by those on earth, but those in the heavenly realms. Legions of angels rejoice. The spiritual realm is rejoicing. Why are they celebrating? I thought that was a gift for us. Why are they all celebrating and singing and shouting and hooting and hollering? They're all fans of humanity. Finally, humanity's going to be able to share in the experiences of God. What are they celebrating? The Creator has become creation. The Creator of all things becomes creation. They've never seen anything like that before. They've never experienced anything like that before. And they knew why. A savior for all of humanity is born. The spiritual realm's rejoicing. All of that created realm rejoicing. Humanity still stuck in a smelly barn. I would say let's worship him like the angels worshiped him. Let's praise him like the angels did. Let's take our cue from the angels, lift our voices, praise and honor him. And the angels came to the shepherds and said, what was the first words they said? Come on. Fear not. Somebody say, fear not. Fear not. Now, shepherds, we've never seen anything like this before. Neither had the angels. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. How big's a multitude? I don't know. Pretty big. Praising God. What were they saying? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. A Savior is born. There's your next slide, by the way. Savior. That's the hope. That's our hope. A Savior. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior. That's what they're witnessing. That's what they're celebrating. A Savior has come. The sentence of death was upon all men. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed from all men. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're born into it. Without the Savior, there'd be nothing to look forward to but condemnation, death, and eternal wrath. That was the destiny for humanity. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as though the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also the obedience of the one man were made righteous. God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save us from a world condemned. Do you get it? Do you see it? Is that your hope? Do you just walk in that once a year? Do you just walk in that once a week? Or do you walk in that every single day? Because every day I'm a winner. Every day I know the outcome. Every day I have hope, even though sometimes it looks like I'm down to the last 57 seconds. To save us from our condemnation, to save us from our guilt, to save us from our curse, to save us from our shame. This morning you can know the real meaning of Christmas, the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ. Just agree with God that you've messed up. Just agree with God that you missed the mark, that you're not perfect, that you're a sinner. Now you've lost your cool from time to time. I haven't been able to keep all the commandments. Believe that Jesus died for your sins and was raised. And you shall be saved. The scriptures are pretty clear. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. I say it. Jesus is Lord. So you say it. Only if you can declare it with your mouth will you say it. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Only if you believe it in your heart, say it with me. Jesus is Lord. And if your lips aren't moving, I have a real problem. You have a real problem. See, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. One more time, say it with me. Jesus is Lord. For it is with your heart that you believe and that you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know that even in the midst of hopelessness, when there's only 57 seconds left, people are crying out to God. Because they don't know where else to go. They've reached the end of their own rope and the end of their own time, the end of their own wits. And they come to a place that just bottoms out. And they cry out, Lord, help me. And he does. I bear witness. Anybody else? He's there for you. And the angels told the shepherds, fear not. Fear not. Look what God has done for all those that would believe. Look at what he has done. Here's your last one. It's a declaration, and that's exactly what the shepherds did. They had made known abroad the saying which it was told to them concerning the child, and the shepherds returned. Where did they return? They went back to work. It's just like any other day now. They go back to reality. But they go back to reality with a knowledge. They go back to reality with a heart. They go back to reality with the boldness and understanding of what God is doing in someone's life, in all of humanity's life. And they are blessed to know and blessed to see. Those shepherds would never be the same again. What's different about you? Since you've had an encounter with Christ, since you've made him, Jesus is Lord. Yet, I go to work, I drive my car, I eat my food, I tend the sheep, I wash my clothes. It seems like it's just day to day. It seems like life. It seems like I return like the shepherds back to, but there's something different. Isn't there? There's something different. There's something different. There's something different about you. 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 And the declaration? How can you not tell? How can you not tell? How can you not speak? Those who have experienced the saving grace of Jesus, that do not lose hope. How can you not share that? The reason why you celebrate Christmas, the purpose behind the Christmas season. We need to proclaim the gospel and make it known, because if it's real to you, it can be real to them. And the hope that you have, knowing the outcome, can be just as real for them. Many people need what you got. You need to share and speak. We need to proclaim the gospel. May it start right in our own home, right in our own families, and right in our own churches. I'm not afraid to declare it. There was a time when I lived in hopelessness. God brought me out. There was a time I didn't know what I was going to do with my life at all. Didn't want life at all. God brought me out. To stand here in front of 100 people and go, Jesus is Lord. He saved my soul. He can save yours too. I just bear witness. There's nothing fantastic about me. Jesus does amazing things. You are an amazing thing. Let him do something with you. Let him do something with you. Maybe you'll have to endure some kind of inconvenience, and maybe it'll get to the last 57 seconds, but don't lose hope. You know the outcome. Do we know the outcome? I know the outcome, baby. I know the outcome. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, in this day, we just glorify your name. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing. Father, we pray that you might continue to bind us together as a family of believers that would minister the gospel to the ends of the world. And so, Father, in this place today, I pray that you would shape our hearts, mold our hearts, fill our minds, Father, that we might walk in the hope that you have given us. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. All right, Mr. Glenn. Thank you, sir.
All right, before we get the jam out one more time, I asked that gentleman to get ready for this morning's tithes and offerings. And if you would pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for just this church. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for putting us here and now. Father, I just ask that you would always be with us, living this purposeful life that you've put into place for us, Father. Help us to seek it. Help us to understand it. Help us to follow it, even when we don't understand it. And Father, I just thank you for what it is you do for us individually. And as a church, I ask that this morning's tithes and offerings would just go towards this purpose, and especially just towards your purpose. In your name we pray. Amen.